The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
Over Under 98.5, the podcast. We are back. Dan Lifshatz is on fire. What's your record right now, Dan?
This week is 9-1. Went 9-1.
9-1. I believe I'm 11-7.
Still. Pretty damn good.
61%. I think that makes you very high or up.
90%.
90%. And I think that's a total of 72%. So if we're talking percentages, we're patting ourselves on the back. It's good. So let's knock out some L's real quick. Houston lost, and they are done, Dan.
They are. And I'm not surprised. We talked about this. I thought Golden State would beat them in 5 or 6. Obviously didn't foresee the Durant injury, so that does change a few things, of course. But, you know, they took care of it in 6. I thought they were the better team throughout the most of the series, Joe. I think they deserve to win.
So I took it because it was a pure fade, right? Golden State half-assed it against the Clippers. And then the Durant injury happened. I got to tell you, and I think a lot of people last night were shocked, and we're recording this on a Saturday so we can get you the big Game 7s in the NBA tomorrow and, of course, Game 1 in the NHL tonight. But, you know, just looking at that series, Cousins goes down early on. Durant goes down. Let's be honest. Steph Curry has sucked. He has sucked.
I agree. For the entirety of that series, he was not great.
Klay Thompson, Iggy off the bench, like, that's what it's been for them. And in a home opportunity for Houston, who are favored by, what, 6 points, seven points?
Seven and a half. Got up to 7.5 last night.
With the officials on their side, and we'll get into the ref angle, the wrangle later on in the show, they choked. They had a 7-point lead at home in the fourth quarter and choked. And I was shocked because I could not believe, and I don't know why I'm shocked, Steph Curry scored 33 points in the second half after having zero in the first half.
A big fat zero. He was, Joe, that was the best second half I've seen of a player in quite some time. I mean, we talk about Giannis having a dominant first half. I know that, you know, Harden had an incredible first half and Kevin Durant's had an incredible first half. But I think out of all of them, Curry had the best half out of any player in the playoffs so far. I don't think it's even debatable. He won them the series last night. Straight up, Steph Curry won them the series last night. Now, Thompson hit a dagger. He was good all game. Draymond Green with a lot of ball movement, very good defensively. And Andre Iguodala, 5 of 8 from 3, just continuing to do what he does, play rock solid defense. Guy is an absolute elite player on that team. He is badly needed on that team. That team last night, Steph Curry led them, though. And honestly, I don't think that they're going to be, well, we'll get into everything, but I think it's going to be very tough to beat them. Very tough.
We'll break down the NBA playoffs course, a couple of game sevens tonight. And then I'm trying to think if there was another L. Oh, yeah, so the ref angle, lost that Rockets game last night. I took them second half. Dan, they were -5, and I just, it was a tie game at halftime. And the way I looked at it was Houston's going to come away with this, and then there'll be a game 7, and Steph Curry shut everyone up. A couple of wins, though. The Bruins defeating Columbus. Chalk it up, bad boy. That was a win there.
That was a very nice win. I have to admit, I was nervous about that series. Big, heavy team. but the Bruins were the better. I mean, they were better. Honestly, I thought through 70% of that series, they were the better team. They just could not put the puck in the net at times.
And were there any other wins? I know you gave out another one. I know we gave out Bruins. And I know you have the Kentucky Derby we hit.
You hit. Well, not me.
We picked three horses, okay? And the way to do it, I think this is the best way to do horse racing is take three horses and hope one of them hit. And, hey, for fun, bet the horses with the three worst odds or best odds or whatever. And it cashed. And there was controversy, which I've never seen in my life before in a horse race. But just that code of honor that was the third pick I chose, I actually bet it to place. But because of the disqualification, it actually finished second. But because of the whole play show angle of it all, you only needed one horse. So for every dollar you put down, you won $9.80.
Exactly. So, I mean, if you guys listen to the podcast, you won. My horse picks, garbage, which is not a surprise. I mean, I don't bet on horse pickers. Yeah, I don't bet on horses. I do what I can with the information that I'm provided from my friends and people that I know. But my picks were garbage, and it is what it is. So, you know, I'm not too mad about it. Not broken up about it. Joe hit for you. So if you listen to Joe and you didn't listen to me, which I told you to do, you hit. And honestly, at the end of the day, Joe continuously hits the Kentucky Derby almost
this
literally
is 6 years
every,
in a row.
Every year. You hit a show place or whatever it is.
And don't get me wrong, the favorite has won every year. But still, if you pick a second horse to show, like, you're really winning money. And I'm an amateur bettor. I just look at the line and I say, this is what I like. Again, like, it was a lot of people. And you know what I wanted to talk to you about real quick with this one? Do you think the ticket window is opened when the race ended?
So, no. What happens is they have to wait for the results to be official before they can grade tickets.
So people must have been waiting at the window?
So people were waiting at the window. However, hold on, Joe. Here's the interesting thing. I've heard, and I can't confirm this, so if anyone out there can confirm it for me, I'd love to hear this. I've heard that in Rhode Island and in Mississippi or Missouri, whatever it was, one of those two, they do not have to wait for the results to be official to cash your ticket. So there was a big amount of losses for Rhode Island, and I think it was Missouri, I think it is, who did not need the official results to cash the tickets. And I don't know if that's true, but that's what I've been told from a bunch of people in the betting community or whatever. So that is the case. Those two took a hit.
Wow. I was thinking about that. And I talk about this all the time. Sometimes there is a benefit in getting a ticket versus betting online. I like to bet online because I get the credit up front. I don't have to put any money down. I just have an amount in there. And if I lose it, I got to pay it at the end of the week. With Bovada and these other accounts, you got to put a credit in there, and then you have to actually wait for your money. I don't love that. And we hear that every week, Dan. Every week we get a question. Hey, what's the best book to use? I don't know. I just prefer not to put my own money in. I'd rather get a credit and then pay it or win my money right away. But yeah, in the Kentucky Derby, though, very interesting week. And I'll tell you right now, the whole Preakness and everything else, who cares, right? No Triple Crown winner. I think that was minus 700 this year.
Yep.
So that's already won. And I don't care about the other races now. Horse racing for the rest of this year, dead. Well, replay, dead.
Well, we can talk about it. We can project it out, Joe. It'll be a little bit of fun to discuss. But I agree. I mean, honestly, is anyone really interested in watching the Preakness now?
No.
Unless you have legit money on that. I mean, I'm not too interested in watching it. But I probably will just because I'll probably throw a little bit of coin on it. Why not?
So anything else from last week that you remember? Because, I mean, we pretty much hit it. I mean, we took the Bruins. That one, Derby placed. The ref angles are working still.
The ref angle is incredibly hot. I think it lost three times is what I – the three ref angles
through,
I played.
Through today, it's five.
Okay, well, I've only played three because there are a couple that we had it was like a disagreement. Because I think that Zarba, and he's the guy who, by the way, has three of the five losses or whatever you want to say, Zarba is three of those losses. So, and by the way, Mark Davis is the other two.
That's right.
So
that's right. And if you look at Brothers and Foster, it's
perfect. It's perfect. Yeah. So I mean, if Foster Brothers and I can't remember who else it is. Those guys are perfect. Zarba and Davis are like one and
might
four
be Callahan.
Together.
That's
Callahan. Yeah, yeah, Callahan's the other perfect guy. They're like one and four. So I mean, you know. Yeah. For me, Zarba and Davis are going to be hard to ride going forward.
The Wrangle's real, and the only one that lost the other night was I took Toronto in game six to knock out Philadelphia, and there was that little line of spreads from zero to four. Be careful. I played it, and I lost. So.
Yeah, that Zarba little patch right there was exactly why I didn't bet Philly. Plus, I thought the Philly line was clear. I thought it was a Philly line, so I didn't want to play that either. But we'll definitely get in the NBA. Joe, I do want to say one thing about the NHL. First off, the Colorado Avalanche should have beat the San Jose Sharks. They got robbed three times in that series.
What officials have been worse? NHL or NBA? Be honest. Because I'm going to say it's probably the NHL.
I'd say probably NHL. The first game one of the Bruins-Canes was probably the worst reffing I've seen in a very long time.
And we could go back to Columbus with that, you know, hit off the puck off the net that they couldn't review. What the hell is the point of having replay if you can't review it?
The puck off the net, the goal that you can't see an angle of, and they said last year that wasn't a goal. Now this year they say it's a goal, so they just can't make up their damn mind on that, which I agree, it should have been a goal, but if you can't see it, you can't see it. That's the rule. You need conclusive evidence, and they didn't have it, so that was frustrating. The NHL has been not great, Joe. I mean, to be
It's actually impacted who wins and who loses.
100%.
Where NBA kind of like facilitates.
I mean, do we think that San Jose should have gotten by Las Vegas in round one?
No, but you know, I'll tell you this much: that team has a horseshoe up their ass.
They do, and again with Colorado, offside by a quarter inch. This is not why we have replay. So it's you know, Colorado got screwed multiple times in that series. Honestly, I felt like the refs were against Boston almost the whole Columbus series, and that is definitely partially me being a homer, but also just in general. Like, I just felt they were against them. So that was pretty bad. And then, yeah, honestly, in the Bruins-Canes, there was a shift where Carolina probably committed four penalties. None of them were called. And then they called two in a row on what I thought were legal plays. Dougie Hamilton checks David Backes into the board. I didn't like it. It's borderline, but that's not a penalty in the playoffs. And then the roughing call on Hamilton? Are you kidding me? That's not a penalty either. So it's just, you know, Carolina got screwed in that one too. So to me, it has been horrible, Joe. The reffing has been horrible. Now, do they affect the game as much as the NBA? Probably not. But has it been good? No, Joe. It has not. And I'd say right now, the NHL has probably been worse.
And I'll be honest with you, the NBA has owned the NHL in the playoffs so far. Like, early on, the first round of the NHL was clearly the better round.
So good.
But the second round of the NBA has been much better.
The second round of the NHL was horrible. I was not into any of the series. The Islanders, yeah, the Canes swept. You couldn't get into that series if the Canes swept. But I was wrong about that. I thought the Islanders would win a game or two. Didn't even bother showing
you. You had them in the other series. I did.
I had them versus Pittsburgh, but I thought they would at least get a game or two versus Carolina. I thought they would fight in that game four. Didn't bother. Didn't even show up. So they got screwed. So they got murdered there. You know, the San Jose Colorado series was probably the most entertaining, and still it ended with a, you know, ref issue. Boston, I thought, was deservedly the better team over Columbus, and then St. Louis Dallas. Ben Bishop was the only reason Dallas was even in that series. Ben Bishop was amazing. So it did go to game seven, and that game seven was great, but it was just St. Louis shooting on Bishop and Bishop stopping the puck. And eventually they got one by him. That was pretty much the entire series for them.
So we have NHL odds for the series and also the Stanley Cup. We'll give you those in a little bit. The NBA odds to win the championship. We now have the finals going on, and we got a couple of game sevens tonight. And 5 minutes ago, because we're recording this on a Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m., 5 minutes ago from Stephen A. Smith, everything he's heard, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are planning on playing in New York, 95% chance. One potential hiccup, KD could change his mind. We'll give you the odds, the current odds on the destination of Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant coming up. So we'll pause here. Again, questions every week at over under 985. Send them in. I'll take it to the window at the end of the show. So that's our recap from last week. We'll get into the NBA because there's some big games tonight. Also, look ahead at the championship odds. Thoughts on Golden State winning it all. And is there some value on the Eastern Conference? I think there is. We'll get into that. It's over under 985, the podcast.
Hardcore baseball.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Talk Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Over Under 98.5 podcast. You can find all of our documented picks at Dan Lifshatz, at Joey Murr, and at Over Under 98.5 on Twitter. You can also listen to us Thursdays with Toucher and Rich, 7 to 7:20 a.m. to discuss everything that's going on in the sports world of betting, the NFL, college football, and any other sports slate that is going on that week. Make sure to listen to us 7 to 7:20 a.m. every Thursday on Toucher and Rich.
All right, back here over under 985, the podcast. I'm Joe Murray. Dan Lifshatz is here. And this is money time, Dan. Money time.
The NBA has been just ridiculously kind to us this playoffs. And again, we talk about it. It's square season, baby. It's square season. So you know the better teams are almost always going to win. And that's seemingly what has happened throughout the playoffs. Has there been any surprises to you so far?
No.
I thought
maybe Philadelphia forcing seven games.
Okay, so that's true. Philadelphia getting the seven games is interesting. To me, the biggest surprise was the Celtics just getting demoralized. I thought they were the better team. I did. I will take my L there. I thought they were the better team. I thought they were going to win that series. They were horrible, Joe. Just crumbled. Honestly, just absolute embarrassment. And you know what? It shouldn't be a surprise because the entire season was an embarrassment. But truly just... It sucked, dude. It sucked watching those games. It wasn't fun to watch. There was nothing enjoyable about it.
Well, it's like two guys who tried, you know. And I Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart, who played two games.
I felt that Kyrie tried in game two and then just got frustrated and just shut it down.
There were times, dude, where there were four guys on him while he was dribbling the basketball.
Yep.
We could say whatever we want about Kyrie. Like, he dogged it. I'll say it. He was a turd in the series. But Brad Stevens got... Completely outcoached.
It wasn't even close. He made no adjustments at all, in my opinion. And the Celtics, they couldn't hit open shots. Jason Tatum was horrible. You want to talk about Kyrie Irving. I think Jason Tatum was worse than he was.
Tatum regressed in the series when he showed against Indiana, which meant nothing now that we think about it.
And by the way, Jaylen Brown was awesome.
Elevated. Times looked like the best player in the series.
Honestly, I think that Jaylen Brown is becoming a better prospect than Jason Tatum in our eyes, and I know that's some sort of crazy hot take, but what at this point?
Well, he plays.
Doesn't Tatum scare you at this point? Like, going forward, Tatum as a prospect is starting to scare me. The guy just wants to take shots.
Well, we saw this at Duke. He was an isolation player.
He's so much better than he is. Jason Tatum could be such a good player, but
what's his position? I know we're talking gambling, but like, I think that's the issue with him. He plays the four. He's playing the four, I guess the Celtics are positionless basketball. But like, can we just make him a three?
He's got to.
Can you make him a three and just keep him there?
He's got
to
be a
three. Put Jaylen Brown at the two, and if you need to get a future point guard, get Marcus Smart for now and figure it out. But I'm sure people don't want to watch Smart throw chuck shots.
Well, defensively you'll be better. And again, people are telling me that this team will be better without Kyrie Irving next year. You guys are wrong.
Crazy. And here's the deal. The salary cap's the issue. Yes, he was a cancer in the lineup. I shouldn't use the word cancer. He was a poison. poison.
But you know, the thing is that like he was as disliked as Jaylen Brown is universally disliked in that.
But like, let's not let Rozier off the hook. Oh, I would sacrifice more than anybody this year.
Let's be fair.
He sucked.
They all sucked. All of them. I mean, Marcus Morris played well, and Marcus Smart.
Horford was good.
Toughed it through, and Al Horford was good for two games. Horford was great in the Indiana series.
Horford played seven or eight good games in the playoffs.
I agree. No, I'd say he played six. I'd probably say he played six.
All right.
Six, maybe seven. He couldn't shoot in that series. And I love Al Horford. I'm the biggest Al Horford Bobo you'll find, but you got to play better, Al. When the team needs you, you got to play better.
Can we give a little credit to Milwaukee, though?
Like 100%.
Giannis was good. We mentioned Coach Bud. Middleton hit all the shots. Connington off the bench.
Pat Connington was such a difference maker. Impressive. You have to give it up to Milwaukee. Of course, I'm going to destroy them coming up. But Milwaukee was impressive, and 100% you got to give credit where credit's due. They were the better team. They absolutely deserve to win the series. I thought the Celtics were going to win the series. I'll take an L there. I think that's the only series I'm going to lose.
Well, I actually had the Bucks, but I think I got them at like 360 or something.
No, I did not.
It wasn't good. It did look good. Speaking of that, the Bucks will play the winner of Game 7 between Philadelphia and Toronto. Philly, if they actually cared and played, probably should have won the series already. You said it last week. Toronto's going to win the series. So right now they're 6-point favorites heading into tomorrow night, 7 p.m. game. Totals at 209. Whenever Philadelphia scores over 100 points, they win. And to me, like, I think this is going to be a Kawhi Leonard, everyone else get out of the way type of game. Can Embiid score 40 points a game? I don't know. I don't think so. And is someone going to rise to the opportunity for the 76ers? I'm just going to say no at this point. But, like, what a shot if Toronto goes down, Philly wins. You'll have Milwaukee, Philly. You think about where Boston's at in their future, what could be happening to the Eastern Conference. Like, holy crap, now Philly is now in the conversation? Because I don't believe in Philly yet. I don't. But they're 6-point dogs at Toronto. Is that too much in a game seven there for
Toronto? Here's my thing, Joe. I don't think that Philly should be in the series. I thought that Toronto got screwed out of game two, in my honest opinion. They didn't play well, but I just felt that they got screwed out of game two. I felt that in game three, they got screwed as well. But I felt that at the same time, they deserved to lose that game. I felt that Toronto probably should have won this series in six, but they're going to win it in seven. Here's the thing. Ben Simmons has been useless in five of the six games, pretty much. He's, you know, he was great in game six, and hats off to him for that. But honestly, he has been, you know, pretty much as we thought, you know, 9-10 points a game, get some rebounds, get some assists. Nice big man, whatever, nothing special. I mean, to me, he just isn't special to me. I don't think that Ben Simmons is an elite player. I know people love him because he's a name and he was number one pick, but I don't think he's like a good of a player. I think Toronto tomorrow is probably going to win, and they'll probably win going away.
Wow.
So I think the Toronto minus six is a fantastic bet tomorrow.
Is there any stat out there that's like, if you like the team, just bet? Remember how like in football, we were looking at it this year, depending on what the spread was, if you like the team, just take it, it would win.
Yeah.
Has that happened in this playoff? Because I know in the Portland-Denver series, no. But I feel like in the Toronto 76ers series, it has.
It's been about 65% in the playoffs. It's the home favorite has covered. And whatever. So if you're a home favorite, you've covered 65% of the time. I don't think there's been a single non-home favorite, except maybe the Celtics at one point were in this series. Maybe Milwaukee was favorite. I can't remember, but I can't think of a non-home favorite in the second round. So it's been about 65%. So here's the thing. I think Toronto is going to win tomorrow. I don't think Philly is going to show up. Philly showed up in one home game, in my opinion, and has really showed up in one road game. And I just don't see it from them again. I don't. I think Embiid is, you know, had a very good game, but are you going to expect the same performance from him on the road? You know, you had J.J. Redick go off. You had Ben Simmons go off. You had to have a lot of factors in order for really to beat Toronto. And again, they crushed Toronto. It wasn't close, but to me, I don't think this is going to be that close either. I think Toronto minus six is definitely the right side. I think everyone's going to love Philly, especially after Golden State knocked off Houston last night with that spread. I think everyone's going to be on Philly under the on the dog. I think the six is the value. I think there's good value there. I think you could wait till it gets to 5.5. And honestly, I'm not going to play anything until I see the ref, Joe. I want to see what the ref is.
It sucks, but that's really what it's come down to. Who do you think? We haven't seen Brothers or Foster.
So I think that there's a good chance.
You think you get both of them? No, dude, that would be crazy if we got one in one game and the other in the other.
I think that that's exactly what's going to happen.
Oh, please, no.
I think that's exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
Oh, my God.
So
I don't think I can handle that. In a game seven, like, again, it's game seven of a mid, you know, the semifinal, but shit, like.
Yeah.
It could be those two refs.
I really do. I think there's a very good chance you'll see Foster and you'll see Foster.
We might have to tweet that out.
Or here's the other way the NBA can play it, is they got their game seven out of the way, and now they don't care who makes it. So you can see, like, Zarba and Callahan. Which could be. I still think that no matter what, I still think Toronto's going to win, and they're going to cover pretty easily.
All right. So and just staying with the Eastern Conference, because there's a game seven in the West as well. So I'm looking at the conference odds right now. Toronto's plus 280. Philly's 1,000. Okay, so if we're just looking at it right there, Toronto's the right side for game seven. Milwaukee's minus 250.
Yeah, I think that's just horrendous. I think Toronto's going to win the Eastern Conference. I think Toronto's going to win tomorrow, and I think that they're the better team than the Bucks. Look, Giannis is fantastic. He's probably the best player in the NBA. Maybe it's him or Durant. It's 1A and 2B. You know, you can choose really either side, either way you want to go there. But here's the thing about Giannis. If you throw Kawhi at him, who is probably the best defensive player in the league, if not top three. I mean, you know, you can choose wherever you want to put him, but he's going to be very hard for Giannis to deal with. Okay. Then you have Ibaka. Then you have Siakam. Then you have Gasol. You can continuously throw these big guys at him all series. Well, the Celtics threw Horford and Semi Ojeleye and Aaron Baines. None of those guys are really close to, Horford is very good, but you know, Ojeleye and Baines are not people to be scared of. And so when you're able to throw Siakam, you're able to throw Ibaka, who's been fantastic defensively in the past couple series, you're able to throw Gasol, you're able to throw Kawhi, that's a lot of firepower defensively. So I think Giannis is going to struggle a lot more this series. I think Nick Nurse will do a better job than Brad Stevens, assuming that Toronto gets by. And I just feel that Toronto is going to win that game, Joe. I really
so
do.
Is it better to place the plus 280 on Toronto winning the conference than betting them in a game seven spread wise versus 76ers?
So here's what I would do. I would find whatever bets you want to lay tomorrow, and I would just take them with Toronto. Put the Toronto money line. So if you have three or four bets you really like tomorrow, double down with Toronto money line. Call four parlays.
So if you like Denver and Toronto,
you like
or
Denver,
Portland
Toronto.
And
so Toronto. So that's the other thing you do is if you want to trust Toronto, you can take, you know, Toronto minus 255 and Portland plus 195 and plus 195, excuse me, and then Toronto minus 255 and Denver minus 235. Either way, you're still going to get plus money, and you know you're still going to be able to, you know, win either way. You know, I would just take Toronto. I would just take the Toronto money line with everything you like tomorrow. That would be the way I would roll. I would wait for the ref first to make sure the wrangle is on point before we start doing that. Yeah. But that is the way I'm probably going to approach tomorrow, is just take the Toronto money line and put it with anything I like, because I am that confident that Toronto is going to win tomorrow.
Right now, Toronto and Denver money line parlay, 100 gets you $97. Not great, but, you know, put 1,000 on it. Now we're talking. $970.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. It's minus 101. I'm surprised about that. So okay. I thought 255 and 235. That's right. It's about wrong. It's about
still.
Wrong.
I like it. I don't care.
It's pretty much even odds. Like, you're pretty much getting an even bet on Denver. So if you want to put a little bit more on Denver, you know, probably put 3 units on Denver, and you know, maybe 1.5 on Portland. You're making very good money.
Any thoughts on the total in that game? 209. And the reason why I think 209 is a little low.
So I think right now Toronto and the under are correlated, and they have been for a good portion of the series.
Definitely in the series.
So you would have, if I like Toronto, I'd probably lean the under. Yeah. Not that I love that angle. To be honest, I like the Portland Denver over much more than the total tomorrow in the Philly-Toronto game. I think that that would be the way to go if you're looking for a side. The totals would be the over Portland and Denver. They're like 9 or 10 and 1 to the over this year.
Well, let's look at it. Western Conference, Portland Trailblazers on the road at Denver. Portland's a tough place to play. That's one of the better buildings, home court advantages in all of the NBA.
Agreed.
Denver, and if you watched the game six, Jamal Murray and the Joker went off in that first quarter. And then slowly but surely, CJ McCollum came into the game. It seems at times Portland can sometimes find better scoring advantages when Lillard's not on the court. And it's not a knock on Lillard. It's just the fact that when he sits on the bench, they have other scorers. I don't see that with most teams. We saw it with the Bucks against the Celtics. McCollum was outstanding. But then all of a sudden you start looking around with the Bucks. Like, I think Evan Turner's regressed significantly.
Yeah, he sucks.
Steph Curry, he's the most streaky player.
That he has spurts.
Streaky. He's just streaky. Aminu is everywhere, and I think he's just a terrible offensive player. And then if you look at Cantor, he can't play defense. He does have some skill. He can get Joker in the trouble. But I think Plumlee's been pretty good for Denver as well. They have this swing man. Oh, my God.
The Portland also has Rodney Hood, who has been fantastic.
Oh, he was so good in game six.
So that's the thing is, you know, between
Hood. Talk about him actually getting playing time. Oh, and he was on Cleveland last year. After last the bench.
So, I mean, between Hood and McCollum and Lillard, I mean, and Cantor, to be honest with you, Portland has enough scoring to win that game. However, I think Denver is the better team. I think they have been. Excuse me, throughout the entire series, I think Jokic has been the best player maybe in the entire second round so far, Joe. He has just been everywhere, doing everything for that team. Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Will Barton has finally decided to start scoring and play well again. So, which is funny because I wanted Will Barton shot into the sun for a few of those games because he was killing me. Torrey Craig has been locked down defensively.
Sometimes I think Millsap gets the ball too much.
I like Millsap, but they just... Man, sometimes they rely on him too much in the post, and they need to kick the ball out. But Millsap is a very underrated player.
The kid Beasley can get to the basket.
Was it Mikal Beasley? Yeah, he has been dynamite. When he drives, he is hard to stop as well. The thing is that both these teams have so many scoring options, it's hard to stop them. I do think Denver is the right side tomorrow, ultimately. I don't love them. I don't think that's probably not going to be a game I bet on. We'll see. Let's see the refs tomorrow, and we'll find out. You know, if you have Brothers or Foster in there, changes everything. You know, it changes everything. So we'll see. I don't love either side in those. I got to tell you, Joe, every bet on the board, Toronto -6 and the money line parlayed with pretty much everything tomorrow. That's what I love.
How many times have we seen Portland win but Denver covers, or Denver wins but Portland covers? I have a feeling it's going to come down to that 5 points in this game.
So, all right. Do you like Denver or Portland in that one?
I think Denver was the better team all year, and with home court advantage, I think it's going to be Denver versus Golden State.
Me too. So this is how. So instead of playing the Toronto future, right? You said, "Oh, Toronto to win the East is +280." I have a better way to play it, Joe. You ready for this?
Yeah, let's do it.
Toronto, Golden State finals matchup. I gave that on the podcast probably 3 months ago. That was what we talked about when the initial preview.
Is there a line for that?
Yes, it's +353.
Holy crap.
So
if I put $1,000 on that, I win $3,530?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I'm telling you.
What's the Bucks Golden State?
It's -136.
Yeah.
No, there's no value. There's no.
But I mean, that's the favorite. So, talking value, there's not.
In my opinion, there's no value in the Bucks Warriors. I think that the value is zap because the Bucks are such a high, heavy favorite to win the East. I'm telling you guys right now, there is legit value on the Toronto Warriors +353.
I agree.
I think the Raptors are going to win next round. I do.
Who's going to cover Giannis?
I just told you. I think that you're gonna have. I think you're gonna
like Siakam.
I think you're gonna throw four bodies at him. You're gonna throw Kawhi. You're gonna throw Siakam. You're gonna throw Ibaka, and you're gonna throw Gasol. And at all times, you're gonna hit him in different angles. You know, Kawhi is gonna be the lockdown guy, but Siakam is the guy who can block his shot. Gasol is the guy who's gonna be a rock and hit him. And Ibaka is gonna be the guy who's athletically forcing him to drive and make sure he doesn't get around. It's gonna be very, very tough, in my opinion, for Giannis not to just be drained every game, because they are going to continuously throw four good bodies at him.
Okay, and we've already dismissed the winner of Denver and Portland beating the Golden State Warriors. Yeah, but let's just have some fun with it, though.
Okay.
-600 is Golden State.
I have -490, but close enough.
Okay.
There's no value.
I got the local.
Right, and Joe, what did I say last week? Two rounds ago, I said take the winner of the Warriors series and parlay it with everything. So if you did, congratulations, yep. You won
that's
money.
That's right. That's another winner.
And last week, I said take the Warriors to win the conference, parlay it with everything. So guess what? That's going to win, too. There's no value. But if you want to ride the value train again, Joe, Warriors to win the championship, -140. Parlay it with everything.
Wow.
They're not going to lose.
Yeah, I got it at 175. I keep putting money on Golden State, and I actually forgot how much money I've had.
They were at +125 the other day.
Yeah.
And I unloaded on that.
I was 175, 165, and then I think it was 180. And then when Durant was out, it changed. But anyways, looking at the Western Conference, though, any shot at the Nuggets +600.
Honestly?
+700. And then Portland's +1,200.
No, there's no chance. Neither of those teams are going to win. I think Jokic will give the Warriors trouble at times. So I think you'll see the -490 price for the Warriors come down. I do. I think you'll end up seeing that probably in the 300, 200 range at some point. I think maybe the Warriors or the Nuggets will maybe split game one and two, because it will be tough for them to cover Jokic. But at some point, I'd say maybe 5-6. That it's not going to go long. I really don't think so. The Warriors are a significantly better team than either of those teams, either Denver or Portland.
So what I've taken out of this is take Toronto money line with whoever you like, Denver or Portland, and then take put more money on the Warriors to win it all.
-140. I mean,
that's the best odds you'll ever get.
I honestly think it's just free money. Just go ahead. I've been riding the Warriors train. They won this round, like I told you. They're gonna win the West. They have to beat Toronto and Milwaukee in the finals. They're gonna win. Neither of those teams are good enough to win. I'm sorry. Neither of them. Giannis could go off for 50 every game, and Curry and Thompson would probably go for 60. It just doesn't matter.
So I'm looking at the NBA championship odds, okay? So my book has -200 Golden State.
Oh, wow.
And
they're the smart book.
Portland is Philadelphia is +4,000.
Yeah. I have Philadelphia +2,600 and Portland +4,200 right now.
Okay, Milwaukee's +300.
I have Milwaukee +265. I don't think there's value there either. I just don't.
Toronto was +1,500.
Okay, I think that at 1,500, because I have 1,085, I think 1,500 is probably the most value you'll get.
See, I thought about putting some on the Bucks, and here's why. And I'm already thinking ahead, like, for next year and everything. I think that there's probably four players in the league that can cover him.
Giannis?
Just Golden State. We're just having fun with it.
Sure.
Let's just say Golden State beats Toronto.
Okay.
Who does Golden State send at Giannis?
Oh, you mean say Milwaukee beats Toronto, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Who does Golden State send? Draymond Green.
Okay, who else?
You can put it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Draymond Green, Iguodala, who is amazing defensively.
He's a great defender.
Yeah, he is.
But like the Durant factor is
agreed.
A huge
so
thing.
That is an issue for them. I think Looney can be a very good inside defender.
Looney looked good last night.
And here's the thing. I think that Bogut will punch him in
the best defensive player in the Australian League.
I don't think Bogut's a good player, and I don't think he provides a lot of value, but Bogut's the kind of guy that will throw an elbow into your neck. You know, he is that kind of guy who will be very aggressive with you if they needs to be, and he doesn't provide any value. So Bogut wants to get, you know, two technicals and hurt Giannis. I'm not saying that that's exactly what they're, you know, that's going to happen, but that has been a strategy they have used before, Joe, that Bogut will just rough him up. I wouldn't doubt it. I'm just saying that's the kind of thing. I just don't see a way that Milwaukee wins. Giannis is very good and will be very hard for Golden State to stop, but do they have enough secondary scoring? Like, Middleton is a very good player, but he's streaky.
They don't have another, like, 1A, B+. Like, they don't have... It's like one, it's like they got you one, you got, like, a B+, and then it's everything else.
So that's the thing. It's like, you have Curry and Thompson, and if either Draymond or Iguodala...
1A, you know? Yeah,
so, and if you have either Draymond or Iguodala have a good game...
Yeah.
And let's not forget, there's been reports that Boogie Cousins could come back.
Yeah.
So if that happens, I mean, I think that will be a huge boost. Even if Boogie doesn't give them anything offensively, if he's just there just to throw his hands up in Giannis's face, that's just another body you throw at him.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. This is going to be interesting. Another week here. And I'm sure when we do our podcast next week, the odds will be insane for Golden State to win it all. So those are your matchups. We took a look ahead here. The thing I want to get into is
do you want to just recap what you like so people can understand
what do you like, because I think Golden State -140 to win it all is money.
So if you've been listening to the podcast,
like PP money.
So if you've been listening to the podcast, you know that we have a ton of money on Golden State to win the title. So I don't feel that we need to make that a PP, Joe, because I feel like if you've been listening to the podcast, you know I like Golden State to win the series, the Western Conference, and the title. You have enough money on Golden State right now. If you want to throw more, I think it's free money. Be my guest. I'm definitely not going to tell you not to. I think that the way you should go in the NBA, Toronto Golden State plus 353 as a finals matchup. You should have had that from our NBA preview podcast, Joe. We gave out two finals matchups. We gave the Celtics Warriors and the Raptors Warriors. So you already have that, but you can throw it again. 353, that's value to me. You want to throw a little bit on the Warriors to win the title plus 1500. I think that's a little bit of value. I wouldn't do it. And I think that you could probably get, when the odds come out, Toronto is probably going to be plus 1.5 for two games in the series versus Milwaukee, Joe. I'm going to load up on that bet, definitely. And then, again, I think the Toronto money line, or I think Toronto, you know, Toronto -6 tomorrow, pending refs will be my PP. So I'm pending the refs.
We got to follow Twitter.
Right. So I'll post it on Twitter, 100%. Or I'll make you DM me. Maybe I'll do that, depending on that.
I'm all in on tomorrow's games, though.
But Toronto...
Like, I'm in. It's Mother's Day, but I'm in. Yeah. 3:30, I'm locked in. And I'm here. I'm actually at the flagship.
Me too.
Because the Bruins are playing tomorrow.
And I'm doing your show.
Boom!
You and me together.
We can do live breakdowns. You know, forget about game two of the NHL Eastern Conference Finals. Game seven.
We'll talk to Bob and Judd.
That's right, we will.
and then we'll get to everything else. So I would say Philly-Toronto -6 is the right side tomorrow, pending refs. And I think the Toronto money line parlayed with anything is the right.
All right, quickly,
right,
let's do this. Let's do this in 2 minutes. What are the odds for Kyrie Irving? Because earlier this week I saw Brooklyn was the favorite, the Celtics lost, and then I saw that New York Knicks were the favorite. I just read you the report from Stephen A. Smith. Yahoo, Kurt Heelan is now saying Kyrie Irving reportedly having discussions with the Lakers. What the hell's going on with the Lakers? For weeks on this podcast, you have said Jason Kidd will be the next coach.
Yes.
So it's like Frank Vogel's now getting a look in there.
What I was told is that Tyronn Lue, this was a favor to Tyronn Lue by LeBron. And everyone says, oh, well, then how come they talked about having offers and stuff? Because this stuff plays out weeks in advance. And I know that Tyronn Lue had a Lakers-themed birthday party, by the way. What, you guys don't think that they can be smart enough to put a Lakers logo on the back of his party? Like, are you serious? It doesn't, like, come on, guys. This is not that tough. Lue and LeBron are friends. LeBron's doing a favor for Lue because he's trying to get his name out there, get him a job. Jason Kidd's going to be the coach. I said it weeks ago. There's odds up on Bet Online again. You can go get Jason Kidd. Hey, he's going to be the coach. Okay. So that's that. In terms of Kyrie, Joe, so this is interesting because this is depending on the place you look, it's been interesting. Caesar's Palace in Vegas opened it with the Brooklyn Nets as the favorites to get Kyrie at plus 250, the Knicks at plus 300, and the Celtics at plus 350. He's not going to the Nets. He's just not. He's not going to Brooklyn.
It's not a good fit.
It doesn't make sense for him. They already have a point guard who has been D'Angelo Russell's been very good.
Could they sign and trade?
Who? They're going to sign and trade D'Angelo Russell?
I'm saying, is there a chance the Celtics could sign Kyrie and trade him?
Yes, but not for D'Angelo Russell. You're not going to
get $21 million back.
You're going to get salary, but it's not going to be valuable.
Yeah.
In sign and trades, the value that comes back are low first round picks and cap filler.
Well, Carmelo Anthony in Denver did it. They ended up getting the Italian guy,
but that was different. That was a deadline.
And that was during the during the regular season.
The only trade I've seen that has actually been re-signed is Chris Paul.
Yeah,
that's
and all picks and junk went.
It was Montrezl Harrell. I mean, so they actually got some decent players out of that. Outside of that, I really can't think of a time that there's been a sign and trade of legitimate value. Okay, like I know that Celtics fans have floated the idea to me that the Celtics get Dennis Smith Jr. back if he went to the Knicks in a trade, like. I guess that's possible, but you'd also probably have to take DeAndre Jordan back for 1 year, $20 million or something like that.
I think they'd look that like that. And we can get into all that later on. But so that's the odds. And then Durant's hurt.
So okay, so hold on. So Caesars +250 Brooklyn, +300 New York, and +350 Boston. Bookmaker opened -105 Boston, and Bookmaker is the sharpest online book that there is. One -105 Boston, +200 New York. It was like +500 LA. New York ended up moving to even odds, and New York became the favorite. Okay. In that, Bet Online opened Kyrie to the Knicks at +200, and that Boston at +350 and Lakers at +500. And then that quickly moved to Kyrie +150 to the Knicks. So, in my opinion, Kyrie will be going to the Knicks. I do think he's had discussions with LeBron about going to L.A. More of an apology, I was wrong for leaving Boston type thing. But I do think that that's possible and may have happened. I don't think he's going to ultimately go to L.A., but I do think that would be the team he considers second. So, for instance, I think that he would consider the Lakers, Joe, over Brooklyn. That would be the way I would look at it.
Absolutely.
So I think that he's going to the Knicks, okay? He's going to go to the Knicks with Durant.
I agree with you. And I think plan B, honestly, is the Lakers.
But I think plan B is
Lakers. Plan C is coming back to the Celtics.
I don't think he has any interest in ever coming back here again. I think it's done. I think the fans have ruined that even possibility.
Well, remember what he said. If you'll have me back.
Yeah, the fans ruined that possibility. I think that the way that Terry Rozier spoke about him, the way that reports of him and Stevens' relationship, the way that the players just shit on him all year, I think that they...
Can I ask you a real question?
He's not coming back.
Who won the deal, Cleveland or Boston?
Boston, 100%.
Even though they're going to lose their biggest asset?
Yeah, you get a two-year window. Make the deal in a vacuum. Forget about what happened. Make the deal in a vacuum.
Would you do the deal again? Yes.
Yes, 100%.
I think I would too.
But you got 2 years of Kyrie Irving. You got to basically get a 58-win season, or 55, whatever they had last year, with your young players starting in position with a leader.
And I don't think any of the teams would have beaten Golden State.
No. Hell no. They couldn't beat Cleveland, who got swept.
With Jeff Green.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. That was the worst Eastern Conference in 21 years, Joe. By all Vegas metrics, the Cleveland Cavaliers of 2018
worse than the Nets and the Celtics back in like 02.
The worst Eastern Conference champion in 21 years.
Wow. All right, and then the Durant odds, New York.
Durant has been New York. I mean, everything they...
Would the injury, like, make him come back?
I think the injury may make him reconsider if it's worse than is being reported. But ultimately, I think he's going to New York.
And we read that yesterday the Pelicans are already looking in on Knox New York.
I think that's a possibility.
I like him, by the way.
Knox? Oh, very good.
I mean, he's not Anthony Davis.
No, but I think he's going to be a very good player. Ultimately, I think that Davis will end up being traded to L.A. That's my ultimate opinion. I don't think it makes much sense for the Celtics to get Davis without Kyrie. Could they? Definitely. It's a possibility. If you made me bet on which team was gonna get Davis, Joe, I'd say the Lakers. For Kawhi, been very quiet around his situation, but I think that it's going to be the Clippers. Ultimately, it's going to be the Clippers or the Lakers. I think that's a possibility, too. It's going to ultimately be that. Klay Thompson, everyone's talking about him being returning as a guarantee. I don't think that's the case.
No.
I think there's a very good chance he goes that way. I'd say 50-50. He ends up with the Lakers.
Just shake your head. I'm going to say it. Just shake your head no.
Yep.
It is in the best interest for the Golden State Warriors to do a sign and trade with the Boston Celtics for Kevin Durant. It won't happen.
Yeah,
it won't. Happen. but it's in their best interest.
Well, you could also do that with New York. Why couldn't you do that with New York?
But would you rather have Tatum, Brown, Smart, Rozier? Rather have Dennis Smith Jr.?
If the Celtics wanted Durant, they would not be sending Tatum or Brown.
Well, they're going to probably send
Horford.
Gordon Hayward or Horford.
Yeah, that would be the deal.
Yeah.
Or you'd send Smart, and you'd have to re-sign Terry Rozier.
That's fine.
And the thing is, it's very, very complicated.
The only thing is, does Durant want to play in Boston with Kyrie?
The answer is
that's what it comes down to. The answer is
no.
Probably not.
The answer is no. He's not going to Boston. I think that he has. There's probably three or four other teams.
That's my little hedge, people. That's the one I'm putting out there for a while.
Yeah, I don't think there's any. I know that was a Ryan and Bernadoni report a while ago. Yeah. I think there's a 0% truth to that.
All right. That's good NBA breakdown. A lot of stuff in there. Hope everybody liked it, and we gave you our thoughts for Game 7 tomorrow. So when you say, hey, who do you guys like? We're going to go tell you to listen to the podcast. So there's a game 1 in the NHL tomorrow and a Game 2 in the NHL tomorrow. Only 4 teams left in hockey. We'll get into that. Also, we'll roll the dice, and we'll take your questions. It's the Over Under 985 podcast. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. We'll get into the NHL coming up next.
Hardcore baseball.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Talk Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at Over Under 985.
Over Under 985, NHL hockey! The Shacks, the Blues. What a series. And I don't know if there's like huge interest from a hockey fan. Like, the Sharks have been there. They had their run with Joe Thornton. They're here back again. I think they have a horseshoe up their ass. I said that already. The Blues, a lot of talent, but not a lot of flair, you know?
They're just quietly a very good team.
I'll say this, though, for the Hurricanes, I watched that game 1. Jakob Slavin, holy crap, he's nasty.
Told you.
Aho,
he's so good.
Sick.
Nasty.
Like, they're a good team. Justin Stahl's a big, like, they're a good team.
They have a lot of speed. And the secondary speed was flying in game 1, Joe. Absolutely wild how fast they were in that game. And the Bruins still won that game.
They have a good power play defense, too, the way that they set up. Bees scored on 2 of 5 power plays, which helped them. And we'll get into game 2 in a little bit because I'm interested to see how they play now with McAvoy in the mix. Yeah. But just game 1 between St. Louis and the Sharks. Sharks are at home. They're favored -130. The Blues played that outstanding overtime game against Dallas. But to me, like, I don't know how to really break this game down. The way I look at it is I like the Sharks at home. I just, like, the Blues had to play that overtime, the double overtime game. Like, are they rested? Are they the more, you know, crisp team at this point? And, you know, they faced how many shots? Like, how many shots did they get on net? Blues, and couldn't really get anything by him?
A lot.
So do you think they're going to get him? Now, who's it? Is it Jones?
Martin Jones.
Okay. If you looked at it, Jones is probably not as good as Bishop.
No, not even close.
Right?
Not
so the fact Bishop that he gets those kind of shots on net might give the Blues a little bit of offensive advantage.
Here's how I feel. I feel that the Blues winning is very good for the Bruins, and I feel the Sharks winning is very good for the Bruins. I feel that the Bruins got, out of the 2 Western Conference matchups, they got the best two matchups for them. The Sharks provide speed on the defensive end. Burns and Carlson, they're elite. The Blues have very good defense as well, and they have a lot of offensive depth. They're very good. What this series is going to come down to is who can have less penalties and who can score. The Sharks have had much better scoring efforts in the last few games. St. Louis is a very good goalie. St. Louis is definitely going to score. I think you're going to see a bunch of overs in this series. I think tonight, Joe, is going to be an under game. I think you're going to see an under game tonight, kind of feeling each other out.
Two slow teams.
I wouldn't categorize the Blues as slow.
Big, heavy, top heavy?
Bigger, definitely bigger. I wouldn't categorize them as slow. San Jose is definitely bigger. They have to be Gustav Nyquist. I mean, they got some speed. They definitely have some secondary speed, too. Their defensive core, I mean, Carlson, very fast, obviously. Yeah, we all know about Aaron Carlson. Burns still, you know, but they're much bigger. You know, they would probably be a better matchup for the Bruins, ultimately.
I'll say this, the two best games of the year for the Boston Bruins were against San Jose.
Yeah.
Like, some just great scoring back and forth.
So, here's what I think. We'll do this quickly, Joe. I think the Sharks win the series. I don't love it, but I do think the Sharks ultimately win that series. I would not put money on that. I do think tonight the best player, if you want to play the game, in my opinion, is the under.
That would be the way I would do it. Minus 130 right now, 30 cents juice.
Yeah.
In that one. And then I get the series price right now. Blues minus 105, Sharks minus 115.
That's what I have. Yep. And then the Bruins, obviously, won game one.
Oh, by the way, I took the Bruins minus 160. It's now gone up to 310 after one game.
Yep. Yep. So you took the series price there. It's minus 300. I think you'll be able to come back on that eventually at maybe a better price, too. If you want Carolina, plus 250 is probably a pretty good place to get them. I think tomorrow night, you're going to see a lot of goals. I just think these two teams are going to be high scoring.
Do we have a line for tomorrow?
Yeah, Boston's minus 155 for tomorrow, and Carolina's plus 135. The over-under is 5.5. The over is at plus 110. The under, minus 130.
Okay, short and sweet. The Bruins know how to score on Mrazek. He's exposed.
He has some shaky moments. So if Mrazek does not play his ass off, the Bruins will win this series. Ultimately, I think this will go to seven as well.
Oh wow!
And
I was gonna give you an exact series result.
I think this is gonna go to seven. I think the Bruins will win in seven.
So if you like the Bruins in seven, okay, Bruins. Wow, they don't even have that. Oh, Bruins in seven is plus 350. So I was gonna say take the Bruins in five. I'm gonna bet this.
Wow. Okay.
Plus 250.
Okay. I like
it. Not a lot of value.
So everyone, whenever you bet a series, everyone always settles at six. It's like they didn't get blown out, but
the gentleman's.
It's like the everyone always takes six. It's the most common bet out of every book in a series is always six. It's never a sweep or five or seven. It's always six. So for me, I'm going to say seven. I'm going to say seven here.
And
Bruins and seven.
Better odds than in five.
So,
if you look at the Sharks, you know, I think that game's going seven. That series going seven. I'm sorry.
I think Sharks win
in seven plus 300.
I think the Sharks are going to win in six. I know I just said that that's what everyone thinks.
Sharks in six plus 300.
Yep. So, by the way, Stanley Cup odds, Joe, Bruins plus 127. Wow. San Jose plus 300. St. Louis plus 325. Carolina plus 625.
So, that I got the Bruins at plus 220. This was before game seven happened between the Blues and Stars. And now it's at 125.
Yep.
Are we overhyping the Bruins at all? Because I'm gonna say no.
Nope. This is their best and probably final chance.
Their best and
most realistic chance to win.
Tukarask has played like we thought Tukarask could. There's still that chance, but so far I think he is. I'm not even gonna say underrated or any of that. He's playing to what everyone thought he could be.
And he's been phenomenal. And it's finally good to see that. So, quick, easy for hockey. I do have some hockey information I'll share later, Joe. Not this week, but I do believe I have a free agent destination we can bet on.
Ooh.
By the way, this is not...
The Tavares stuff was good last year.
It was, but this is a buddy of mine who has been around the game forever. He's not like a source that's worked for a team or anything. His wife happens to be a realtor for a hockey player. Ooh. Who is searching for a house in a team. So he told me that. And he's only looking in one city, not looking anywhere else. He's a personal realtor.
Speaking of that, we're going to roll the dice in a minute here. I know some spoilers for some odds that are out there.
All right. Well, let's get to that. You've been listening to the Over Under 985 podcast.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
All right, we're going to roll the dice. Anything that's on your mind regarding the Twitter world. Is the Jeopardy guy still going? I haven't been watching.
I have lost track.
I have too.
I have lost track. He's just so good. I've lost track. I honestly don't know. I know you almost lost one time, and after that, I've been pretty much done.
All right, ready? This is something I thought that we should discuss because, dude, my eyes grew up, and I was texting you before the Kentucky Derby, but different odds, different books, okay? It's weird how when we discuss odds, my book's different than your book. I go through a local, meaning I think my bookie can either increase the odds a little bit, fatten the odds a little bit.
Indeed.
You know, kind of like when you go to a car dealer and they bump the rate to get a little extra money, you know?
Yep.
So I noticed that on my end of it. But, Dan, like, you shop a couple of different books. I only have one. But I look at others and I'm like, damn. But I do think, as even a beginner, whatever you want to call it, amateur, beginner, pro, whatever, I think it's good to have more than one book.
Agreed. 100%. It's great to have more than one book. If you're building your bankroll, I understand having one book. But when you get to the point of having a bankroll, having availability to get the best line is imperative, especially for baseball betting. You know, getting the best line, getting the best number, value numbers can there was a buddy of mine who took the Giants yesterday plus 135. At plus 132, there's no value, but at plus 135, there is for him. So, you know, it just depends. And again, the Giants got killed yesterday, but I'm just giving you an example of where value can lie in a line. People determine value within a couple of, you know, just a couple of point, you know, odds points. So, or even what the line is. So it's very important to shop for the best line, always.
In different books, it's weird. It is just weird how, like, those horse racing odds that I had on my book compared to what you were doing, looking at, it might have been five dimes last week.
Yep.
Holy crap, dude. Like, I can only imagine what some of those payouts on that. So just wanted to bring that up quickly on just when it comes to betting, you have to look at different lines. The other thing I want to mention is that the Fox is coming up with an app where you can do in-game betting, but it's like only on like the Fox games. I think this is interesting because you're going to be downloading a Fox app with the game on Fox, and there's going to be like, will Dak Prescott throw for a touchdown on this drive?
Don't forget, it's a 15-second delay on television.
Ooh,
which means that they will absolutely have the betting advantage on you.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
But I like that. Like, will they score a field goal on this drive? And I think you can do that with Bovada already.
You can do that with Bookmaker.
Yeah, with Bookmaker as well. So, but I thought that was interesting that Fox, they're getting ahead of it. We haven't heard anything about ESPN or NBC or anybody like that. But Fox is getting into the gambling game. They're also getting into the wrestling game.
The wrestling thing is another thing we'll talk
huge
about.
Huge money on
day.
That.
But I think that the gambling thing is smart for them. Let's see how it does, because I'm not sure how legal it is. I've heard some questions of legality issues. So it might
be some people in New York have to drive to New Jersey and then come back.
Exactly. So there are some legality issues in regards to what will be available for mobile bettors, because it sounds like it's going to be mobile availability in Massachusetts. It should be legal for us.
All right. And final one for me, Game of Thrones, two episodes left. I saw you tweet something out where the series kind of sucking.
I really hated the last episode. So thought it was super, super rushed.
So I agree. I got all the spoilers. I got them. I watched them. I actually will like the ending. But I'll tell you right now.
Don't spoil it.
The odds have significantly changed on who's going to be the person on the throne.
And I believe that I told you that day what the odds were, and I said, get it in as much as you could, and I got limited. So I put as much as I could, and whatever, I was like, oh, I'll just put another bet in. They limited me.
Guess what? It's off the board.
Yeah, they limited me.
The only ones they have now are like, which Stark will die first, and which Lannister will die first,
yeah,
and will Tyrion ride a dragon? So I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's off the board. And I think it will be a good ending. Anything for you, Dan?
For Game of Thrones?
No, just in general.
Oh, just in general. No, I did want to talk about quickly as something that we can probably discuss later on, but value. I know that people have really been hammering me about the word value and what it means to find value.
Value doesn't mean they have to win either.
Right. So what
like,
I think,
like the Toronto bet to win the championship.
Right.
That's so, great value.
Right. So value means where you believe there is a valuable price for a team, even if you don't.
For example,
think
last week Canelo was a 600-700 point minus favorite.
Yep.
And I just took the dog just because there was value.
Okay.
But there was value.
Yeah. So you found value in the dog. Everyone understands and believes value differently, Joe. Everyone does it. And that's the way that everyone operates. What you need to determine moving forward in the bet is not who's going to win or lose, but who, if there's value. For instance, there is one of our listeners, Joe, and I'll tell you his name. His name is Jack. I'm not going to give you his last name. He sent me a tweet today basically saying he had bet the Mariners at plus 168. I told him I didn't think that was a terrible price. I said anything under 162 would be bad, but I think anything north of 162 is good value to me. He said, he said the reason that he understood that he now bets MLB games differently is because he's been listening to the podcast. He is 32-8 in his last 40. Betting baseball based purely off value.
We mentioned that earlier that sometimes it's not even worth betting on it. Like if a team's minus 260 with Sale on the mound, you might as well just go the other way because there's value.
Yeah.
Oh, one other thing. Red Sox getting hot.
9-4 Red Sox right now. So unfortunately, that Mariners bet doesn't look so great.
The Mariners don't look so good.
I got to say, I almost took the Mariners this morning. The over was the right bet, but biggest line movement I've seen so far in a total this year, 9.5 closed at 11.5, Joe.
Wow.
A lot of sharp money came in on that over. So, yeah, we'll keep looking at that. I think that's all I have for this week, Joe.
All right, forget it.
Do you have anything?
Nothing, man. I'm ready for game sevens, and I'm ready to get into it next week because that's where the money's at.
Oh, we will also be on 98.5 tomorrow. Joe is doing show 6 to 8, I believe.
6 to 8 p.m.
6 to 8 p.m. Sunday. We will be doing the live update on the Toronto-Philadelphia game, maybe discussing betting as well, and anything you guys want to talk about, we'll discuss. I'll be taking your calls and discussing. We'll definitely get into betting tomorrow.
You got it. All right. Another edition of Over Under 985 in the books. Thanks to Dan Lifshitz.
Hold on. I'm going to do questions. You're going to go do your thing.
All right. I'm out of here.
Joe's got to go do a show.
Dan's
I'm going to take a question.
Dan's going to take you to the window because I actually
window.
Have to do work.
Yes, actually work.
And then
work.
Dan's going to do production work.
Yep.
And then this bad boy is going to be up.
Yep.
And I am out.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You send in your questions, we cash them out at the window. So who you got? Over Under 98.5.
Welcome back. Over Under 98.5. Just me, riding solo for the questions right now. Joe is going in to do his show. We went a little long today. Weren't planning on probably doing an hour and a half show, but ended up that's unfortunately how it goes. So we have a bunch of questions from you guys this week. We're gonna get to them again. I won't say your full name, just your name. First question is from Beef. Hey guys, thoughts on betting the Bruins plus 200 to win the Stanley Cup now plus 125. Also thoughts on the Warriors Rockets game 6. Obviously, we didn't get to the podcast yesterday. I would have told you that I thought that Houston was going to win that game. I probably would have rolled with the Houston money line or the points. In terms of the Bruins, I think we should probably hold off on the Stanley Cup odds. Plus 125 and plus 200. The value just isn't there. Truly, the best value to me is probably on St. Louis at plus 325. Even on Carolina, if you think Carolina is going to come back and win the series, plus 600 is a very good value bet in terms of what you're looking for value, at least in my opinion. I don't think there's anything there to really bet on right now. I think the NHL odds have probably been, killed. I think the best way that you could bet is either game the game or series. So that would be the way I would roll. All right. Moving on, I guess, a question from Soundwave. He says, I tailed Dan and took the Raptors 4-2 to win the series. Tonight is the deciding game. An example like this, do you double down traditionally, bet the Raptors, or are the best to extend the series? So Soundwave actually ended up DMing me what I told him in a certain predicament like this. So it was 4-1. This is for game six. What I told him to do instead of, you know, riding that out is if you felt good about Philadelphia, you felt bad about Toronto, you felt good about Philadelphia, you could always come back on Toronto to win the series at plus 203. So therefore, you could, you know, put probably half the money and still, you know, ride that. You could still ride your minus 1.5, and you could also have the plus 203. So in my opinion, that was the best way to hedge it. I still would probably say that would be the safest way. Now, you probably have a couple units on plus 203 right now. Now, and therefore you're riding it. So if you don't feel good, first off, you can DM me or Joe. Second off, there's always a way to hedge it as long as you're up in the series, in my opinion. So I do believe that would be the best way to do it. Okay, so we got a message from Billy. He says, please no Game of Thrones stuff. Come on, man. I'm not going to be caught up for another few weeks. So we're not doing any Game of Thrones. We did our Game of Thrones stuff. We told you about the odds moved. That's it. We didn't tell you anything else, so we're going to leave it at that for Game of Thrones. If there's any Game of Thrones questions, I will not be answering them. If I have the question from Zach, if I have the Warriors to win the NBA Finals at minus 210, what is the best way to head to this point? My answer, don't. Don't. I mean, if you can get Toronto maybe at plus 1,500, maybe that'd be a decent hedge. Or what you can do is in the finals, you can hedge the other side for maybe half the amount of plus money. I would still tell you there's really no reason to hedge. Minus 210 is not the best price, Zach. So next time, feel free to DM me about that. But the Warriors are going to win. I really wouldn't feel too bad about hedging that. All right, moving on. Is there any value in betting MLB series during the regular season? So this has been an idea that has been broached to me by a few people. Yes, there is absolutely positively value in betting series prices. In fact, I know guys who bet just pure series prices, and what they do is, let's say they take Tampa Bay series price, right? So you say Tampa Bay is a minus 140 favorite against the Red Sox. Take the Tampa Bay series price. You can go take the Red Sox and you double down on the Tampa Bay game one. They lose game one. You can double down in game two. They lose game two. You lost your series bet and your game two bet. So then you triple down in game three. Trust me, I know it sounds bad, but there's really not many sweeps in baseball. Very rarely are there sweeps. I think it's only like 12% of the series in baseball are sweeps. So, you know, you're factoring the fact that there's a good chance there. And of course, obviously, you're going to be taking a better team. What I will say is that you can lose or you can win big. So it is a very dangerous thing. I would be very careful about betting series prices in baseball if you don't have a bankroll. I think that's something more for experienced bettors, but if you believe you found value in a series, go for it. Just be careful, because I'm telling you right now, a lot of those big favorites are going to be juiced, and the value there, and you know, if you lose that value or you lose the series, you're in trouble there. All right, so this is a question from Jay. Can you discuss why you can bet on things that have already have results, like award shows, wrestling, Game of Thrones? Are there people out there just cleaning up because they know what will happen? I'm picturing a janitor at the Garden catching a peek of the WWE card in the back room and just raking. So there are always limits to these types of markets. So for Game of Thrones, if you're a writer and you knew it was going to happen, you actually can't bet under your name if you know what's going to happen in the outcome of something. So if you have an outcome, you're a writer for Game of Thrones, let's say, and you know what the outcome is, you are not legally allowed to bet on it. But what you can do is you can always share the information. Information sharing is not illegal, okay? It's not the stock market, and so therefore it's not insider trading. You can share information. Now, you have to be careful about it. Okay, you don't want to go spreading it to the entire world, because then the odds will drop, obviously. But there are ways to do it. So, yes, the reason you can bet on these things is because books always do well on them. Always, 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 always do well on them. Okay? So that's exactly why, there are odds in these things, because it's just another way, another market for books to do well and make some money. What I will say here is that very rarely, you know, do you have a large limit in these markets? So, for instance, we just kind of talked about the Game of Thrones odds plunged on a specific character, specific few characters, actually, and different props and everything. And because of that, you're no longer able to, you know, bet on the market because there are a whole bunch of spoilers out. WWE, they change the results all the time. So sometimes they'll change the match results like 20 minutes before the match. So no matter what happens like that. And award shows, same thing. We have heard a lot of leaks about fake award shows happen this year, fake award show leaks. And so that's what happens. A lot of these guys get fake award show leaks. And so that's what happens. But you can bet on that stuff. Did Le'Veon report ask me any early over under NFL wins? I will give you two. I already given out two, but I will give out two. The Patriots over 11, I've already locked in. That was my first bet. I think the Pats are going to crush that over 11. They have pushed or won every single year except for 1 year. I believe that was 2009 in the past, like, 15 years. It's something wild. Anyways, it's pretty much one of the safest bets on the board. Over 11 wins for the Pats. I am also taking the over 9 wins for the Cleveland Browns. Very square, I know. I just have a feeling that this is going to be a fantastic year for them. I like the way that they're operated. I like their coach. You know, they're not Hugh Jackson. I just like everything about them. So the fact that they won over 5.5 games last year with Hugh Jackson as their coach is just borderline impressive. So Alec Wiener asked, asked about the Bruins money line on Thursday. Obviously they won. I'll tell you tomorrow, I don't like it as much. I would be careful about that. It's very tough to determine what you're going to get game to game, so you have to be careful. What I will say is I think that there will be a plethora of goals tomorrow. I'd say over if I was going to bet it. Ben has asked I'd like you to explain and define the term wrangle, so the ref angle. Basically, we've been betting the NBA second round just based upon the refs. I believe Joe has it like it's something like 17-5 or 11-5, 12-5, 13-5. I don't know. My system right now, I have it 16-3. Last night was going to say 16-2. Three last night was a loss with the Rockets. I only have three losses on it, because there are different angles that you can approach, but the way that I bet the second round, 16-3. And just ridiculous. I will say there was an under angle last night that people liked, from me. I know the sharps were on it as well. That also lost. So you want to call it 16-4. That's fine. I personally really liked the under last night. So that's it. Pretty much that's it. So pretty much the ref angle again is just, you know, the ref angle, whichever ref favors a specific team or side or whatever. So that's the way I would describe it. Anyways. We are done. Over Under Podcast. Done. All done. It's 3:00. I'm going to edit this puppy. I'm going to get it out to you guys before 4:00. We'll get everything out there for you guys. And so therefore you guys can start making your bets on tonight's hockey game, on the games tomorrow. I will give you this. I will give out one play, just for you guys, because I know we didn't really give out a ton of plays, today. So I'm going to go with the Oakland money line versus Cleveland today. I think Cleveland is very heavily overvalued at -135. I get it. The Bauer angle, I fully understand that. I just think that Oakland right now sitting at 121 is very good value. I am not going to tweet this out. This game starts at 405. That sucks. So you might not be able to get this. So let me give you another one. Hold on. The other one I'm going to give you. And I'll give this one too. And that will be it. I'll be done giving out points for the podcast. And I guess I'll make this my PP. Let's give out Kansas City today, +122 versus Philadelphia. That game is tonight. That's at 7:15. You'll definitely have time to listen to the podcast and get all the players you want in before that. So again, I'm taking the Kansas City Royals tonight to beat the Philadelphia Phillies. And again, that's +121. Honestly, anything below 115, I would probably lay off. But if you can get anything above 115, to me, it's a pretty good value number for them. I have it at 121 right now, so I'm going to lock that in right now. And I'm going to take that right away. So thank you for listening to Over Under this week. Next week, might start digging into some guests. Obviously, Joe will be here for the whole show next week or whatever. So make sure you listen to Over Under 95 Podcast again next week. We'll give you some more information. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a great week, and we'll catch you again. Thanks for listening to Over Under 95.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.